Hello, this is Jay Lewis, and welcome to the Old Radio Companion.
Now, My Little Margie, starring Gale Storm and Charles Farrell.
The Alan Young Show.
Father knows best.
Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Hope.
Welcome, everyone, to another show of the Old Radio Companion. You know, come on in, have a seat, get comfy, grab your favorite beverage, and come and hang out for another great show. Okay, y'all comfy? Y'all set? Okay. Well, I'm happy to be with you today, and I hope you're all doing well. And it's finally springtime. And, well, there's a lot of great things that come because of spring. You know, some pleasant, like flowers and nice weather and longer days and the sun and the birds, you know, all that great stuff. And well, so, you know, something's not so pleasant, like taxes, right? So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Yes, that unpleasantness of tax season. And we're going to specifically look at some early histories of taxes and one big event in our American history. And so since it's, you know, tax season, you know, thought it'd be kind of fun to look at, you know, make it not so bad. But before we get into that, not sure if a lot of you are aware, but taxes have been around, well, for a really, really long time. The process of taxing is not a new thing at all. I mean, it's very ancient, actually. It goes all the way back to ancient Egyptian times, Roman times as well. And not only was there taxes, but there was some really crazy, weird taxes. I mean, you think some of our taxes is kind of crazy, which we do have some. But in ancient history, yeah, very strange taxes as well. And so, you know, like the old saying, there's two certain things, you know, death and taxes. So those statements seem to be very, very true. So in ancient Egypt, there was a fat tax. And, you know, you weren't taxed for being fat. That's not what I'm talking about. But you were taxed for purchasing fat, you know, such as oils, because people did use them to cook with. And so you were not allowed actually to use any other means of cooking, you know, any kind of substitute other than oils, which conveniently, Pharaoh himself, that's who you had to buy it from. So you were charged on the tax on it. And how convenient for Pharaoh, because, you know, you had to get the oil from him and then you would buy it from him. And yep, you got taxed on it. So you were taxed for your cooking oil. Okay, so here's one I bet you've never heard of before. Have you ever thought of anyone being taxed on their pee? Yes, you heard me right. Pee, urine. Well, it did happen back in the Roman Empire because urine was collected from public, you know, urinals. And so they actually used urine in a lot of chemical processing, such as, you know, tanning, different things and, you know, tanning material, things like that. And they also used it in laundry. They would take the ammonia from it and they would whiten their togas with it. So, yeah, they cleaned with urine, which is really crazy to think about. But anyway, so you would buy the urine in Roman days because you had to use it for things. And yes, you were taxed to buy it. So in reality, you got a pee tax. Surprised they didn't just tax them when they peed. You know, you go to the urinal, get a little, you had to pay, you know, to use it. You know, saves a lot of time in the taxing process. You know, just charge them for the pee. And anyway, but yep, you got taxed for pee. Okay, this one is really crazy. So during ancient Rome, Romans had slaves, and they only worked for a certain amount of years, and then they would have their freedom, or they could pay a fee to get out early, and it allowed them, you know, to leave their slave owner, find other jobs, and, you know, better, you know, better life, you know, maybe better paying jobs, things that they wanted to do, and they would have their good life, you know, they'd be free. But in order to have their freedom, once they did have their freedom, yep, you paid a tax, a freedom tax. Yes, a tax to be free. Yeah, that's like taxing breathing or something like that, you know. It's a right to be free, but you would be taxed for it. So, yeah. Anyway, so those are some crazy taxes. Maybe it makes you feel better about the taxes you do have, or maybe not. But anyway, like I said, we're going to be talking about this most monumental times in our American history when it did involve taxes. And that was famously known as the Boston Tea Party. And what was just really a revolt. And this is kind of how the story goes in a nutshell. So it was actually later looked at as taxation without representation. And so the date is December 16th, 1773. And even way back during this time, just like we have today, we have groups that revolt and protest. And so, yep, protesting has been years and years and years in this country. And so this group was called the Sons of Liberty. And they were a group of colonists in Boston. And so the reason for the revolt was because of what was called the Tea Act, which was started in May of 1773. So the company was the British East Indian Company, and it was basically getting Chinese tea, which they sold to the colonists, and it was taxed. And it was called the Townshend Act. And so, well, the Sons of Liberty didn't like this tax at all. They were being taxed on their tea. And, you know, they were British colonists. They were colonists. They were used to drinking tea. They still had that tradition of drinking tea and having tea time and things like that. So, yeah, to tax their tea was like something that they used all the time. And they're like, what? Being taxed for our tea? But the British government looked at this revolt that happened as very serious. So what happened was the Sons of Liberty disguised themselves as Native Indians. They got on board these ships and they took all the chests with all the tea in it and they threw it all in the harbor. So to us, it may not seem that big of a deal, but, you know, hey, it's just some tea. We're just out some tea. But yeah, like I said, the British government looked at this as very serious revolt and treason. And so, and this wasn't really the only act, but the Philadelphia Tea Party revolted also. And they basically, the ship comes into the harbor, it has all this tea, and they basically didn't unload it. They didn't accept it. They just sent the ship back to the British government, and it had all this tea on it. And so basically it was their way of saying, take your tea and bleep, basically. Well, yes, the British government responded harshly. And well, this was the start, kind of escalated and sped up this process into the American Revolution. And this event, even to this day, is looked at as a very important and vital event that turned into the freedom of the American colonists from the British government. And well, here we are today. And well, the taxing continues. And maybe we need to have another Boston Tea Party type event. Well, you never know what'll happen. Okay, well, before I get into really bad trouble, here is our sponsor from the past.
There's no other box of facial tissues like this. Scotty's new Magic Oval Box. Only Scotty's give you tissues that float up gently, one at a time, and come out in neat handfuls, too, because there's a Magic Oval inside every new Scotty's box. Only Scotty's Magic Oval can give you tissues that float up, smooth and easy. No tugging, no tearing, no extra tissues tagging along. And Scotty's Magic Oval does even more. It lets you reach in for tissues by the handful, all neatly folded, just right for pocket or purse. Scotty's new Magic Oval box is pretty, too. And inside, soft, strong, sneeze-proof Scotty's. Remember, for tissues that float up smoothly and come out in neatly folded handfuls, look for Scotty's pretty new Magic Oval box, the only one of its kind.
Today on The Scoop, we feature John F. Kennedy from 1962 talking about a tax cut.
The worst deficit comes from a recession. And if we can take the proper action in the proper time, this can be the most important step we could take to prevent another recession. That is the right kind of a tax cut, both for your family budget and the national budget, resulting from a permanent basic reform and reduction in our rate structure. A creative tax cut, creating more jobs and income, and eventually more revenue. And the right time for that kind of bill, it now appears, in the absence of an economic crisis today, and if the job is to be done in a responsible way, is January 1963.
On today's show, we feature the radio show Life with Luigi. It's titled Income Tax Season. It originally aired March 7th, 1950. Enjoy the show.
Of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum invite you to enjoy Life. Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale. You know, friends, Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is a typically American product that appeals to people of all ages and nationalities in all parts of our country. And the Wrigley people feel that Life with Luigi is a typically American radio program. A friendly, enjoyable show that sort of symbolizes the American spirit of tolerance and goodwill. So the makers of Wrigley Spearmint Gum are glad to bring you Life with Luigi each week and have you join them in this pleasant half hour's entertainment. And now let's read Luigi's letter as he writes about his adventures in America to his Mama Basco in Italy.
It's a funny thing, but you can tell what an American is doing by the way he's a walk. If he's a walk very fast, he's going to see his girl. If he's a walk regular, he's going to see a friend. But if he's a walk slow and sad, he's going to pay his income tax. And right now is the income tax season in America, mamma mia. Why is it called the income? I don't know. Because nothing is to come in, everything is to go out. This week, all Americans, they're busy figuring out how much money they got to send to the government and how they're going to live and what they got left. I'm learning in my night school class that the reason they got taxes is so the government can keep working. Mamma mia, if that was to depend on my income tax, the government would be out of work. I don't know why I don't make more money, mamma mia, but I don't. Like every good businessman, I'm got what they call ledger, where I'm keeping my figures. On the left hand, I'm write down the money I'm paid out. On the right hand, the money I'm took in. So far this year, I'm never used my right hand. Well, I'm gonna go to my night school class now, mamma mia, and maybe my teacher, Miss Spalding, is gonna tell me how I'm sure to figure out my income tax. America, I love you. You like a papa to me. From ocean to ocean.
All right, class, quiet, please. I'll call the roll. Mr. Basco?
Here.
Mr. Horowitz?
Here.
Mr. Olson?
Here.
Mr. Schultz?
You got your ass?
Mr. Schultz, what makes you so exuberant today?
Oh, I got a nice check from the government this morning.
Oh? Income tax refund?
Who knows? When they give, I take.
Hey, Miss Spalding.
Yes, Mr. Basco?
How am I going to figure out my income tax? Do you know where I'm going to do this?
What's to figure out, Luigi? Send in your bank book to the government and pray they won't ask for more. Schultz,
You are not helping, Luigi.
That's right, you're all...
Now, class, that will be enough. Mr. Basco, I'll take up your problem later. Now, class, today we have a civics lesson about the government and its expenditures. Now, we all know that taxes are necessary to pay for government. So who can tell us some of the ways our government uses your money? Mr. Horowitz?
I don't even know how my wife uses my money.
Oh, come, Mr. Horowitz.
Well, they use the money to build things.
Yes. Build what things, for instance?
Oh, lots of things.
Would you say public works?
Certainly the public works. How else could they pay taxes?
Class, let's stop this foolishness. Now, who can tell us some of the ways in which the government spends our money? Well, can't anybody tell us where the government's money goes? Doesn't anybody know?
I think this calls for a congressional investigation.
Mr. Schultz.
Miss Paulding, if you get stuck, just call on me.
There he goes, the Swedish Dr. IQ.
Ignore him, Mr. Olson. You may answer the question.
Oh. Last night, besides studying our regular lesson, I studied my encyclopedia. And I found out the government spent over $14 billion on the Army and Navy. $300 million for post offices. Another $300 million for public roads. Over $6 billion for the Veterans Administration. $650 million for the State Department.
Olson, stop! Leave over something for England! Have a spotty.
Yes, Mr. Basco?
Where am I going to go this year to figure out my income tax?
He's back.
No. Well, there are many places you may go, Mr. Basco. There must be hundreds of excellent accountants right here in Chicago.
Certainly, Luigi. If you want, I can recommend you an accountant.
Accountant?
Luigi Horowitz is right. You go to an accountant, he figures out everything statistically. And you know just what to pay the government.
After class, Luigi, I'll give you my accountant's card.
Honey, thank you, Horowitz. You think this accountant, he's going to figure out the good for me? Shmai, Luigi. What if he don't? What if the accountant shortchanges the government a little? Can the government slap a heavy fine on you? Will the FBI investigate you? Will they clap you away in jail?
Sure, sir, will they?
Luigi, if they didn't, who would go to see an accountant?
Luigi, my friend. Hello, Luigi. Hello, hello.
Hello, Pasquale.
Hey, what are you doing with that book under your arm, a little banana nose?
Well, that's my business, the book of Pasquale. I'm going to figure out what I'm owed the government and the taxes.
Look at what's supporting the United States. Broken down a little cabbage puss. Luigi, if America was to depend on you for a living, it would have to move to Mexico. And by the way, if you're going to figure out your income tax, so why are you walking in the street with your business book?
How am I going to see accountant?
Accountant?
Yeah, that's a... Horowitz, he's recommending me somebody. He's a set, fellas are taking my assets, equal with my deficits, make a trial of balance. Then he's got a figure from my debits and credits.
What's the matter, Luigi? You swallow an ad in the machine? They should have put you in charge of the Marshall Plan. In 2 months, it would be the Morris Plan. Ooh, what a boob. Horowitz, accountant, the fissits, the pussits. Luigi, always you in trouble. You running around there, here, everywhere for information. When I'm sitting here with the facts in my head, and you could have come straight to the dope.
You know, you're so right, Pasquale. Nobody's a bigger doper than you.
That's a funny thing. When I'm going to say it, it's going to come out different. Luigi, forget this accountant. I'm going to do all of the work for you for nothing.
For nothing?
Yes.
Thank you, Pasquale, but... Hey, do you know how to make our tax good?
Luigi, if I didn't, would the government send 3 or 4 men every year just to look at my tax returns?
Well, then maybe you can help me with my tax, Pasquale.
Sure, little pumpkin head. Luigi, is there nothing I don't know about figures and the numbers and the statistics? Now, the first thing that the government wants to know, how many dependents you got?
Dependents?
Yes. In your declaration, you got to tell them exactly how many dependents you got. This law was passed in 1776, the Declaration of Dependents.
Oh, sure. How many dependents I got, Pasquale?
Not enough. That's the way they got you, Luigi. You're living alone, a miserable little bachelor, making millions of American girls unhappy by not getting married. So the government gets a revenge on you.
A revenge? How?
They make you fill out the long form. You see, normally, since you're only 5'6", you would fill out a shorter form. But to punish you for being a spinster, they make out a bigger list of taxes for you. You're stuck with a longer form.
Pasquale, is this really true?
What do you think? I'm smart enough to make all this up of my own head? Luigi, is a dark, dark days ahead for you, unless...
Unless what?
Unless you surprise him by suddenly getting yourself a new dependent.
But Pasquale, where am I going to get a dependent?
Marry my daughter Rosa.
Back to the long form. And now, Pasquale, the answer is still a no. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go...
Wait. Give me that business book of yours. I'll help you out anyway. I don't know why I got such a soft spot in my head for you.
Oh, thank you, Pasquale.
Some business, ledger. Nickel and notebook, and on the cover is a picture of Gene Autry. Uh-huh. Hey, keep it quiet while I figure out your taxes.
All right.
Let's see. You earned $400 the last year, spent $825. That's $825 minus $400. Carry down a 5, push over 1 is 0. Squeeze in a 6 and move over to 4. Now we press it down to 7. Add the luxury tax for being a bachelor. Times it by 10% amusement tax. Add 2.5 a city sales tax. Now we bring down the 4, scratch out this 2. And we add a 0 for every year you got to wait to before you a citizen. That's a come out to... Luigi, I got a terrible news for you. You know how much you owe the government?
How much?
$300,000.
$300,000? Pasquale, that's impossible.
I wouldn't have believed it unless I did it myself.
Well, Pasquale, I can't pay. What am I going to do?
Stop begging for mercy. Pay your taxes like every honest American.
Hey, but Pasquale, you think maybe you pushed in a couple of zeros too much?
Look, you tax dodger, your troubles is just the start. Treasury departments are very strict. Comes of March 15th, President Truman is look over the books. He's to say, Morgenthau's of $300,000 are missing for that new battleship. Where's the money? Morgenthau's to say, sorry, Harry, Bosco is to no come through with his money. And Luigi, on account of you, Admiral Halsey is a got to live in a rowboat. And another thing, you ain't going to be tried in a plain a little quarter like the Supreme. You're going to be tried in a special income tax quarter for broke immigrants, the CPA.
CPA, what's that?
Quarter for poor aliens.
Before we return to Life with Luigi, I'd like to say a word about Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum and the enjoyment it can give you. It's fun to sink your teeth into a good piece of gum and chew for as long as you want. What's more, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is chock full of lively, real mint flavor that cools your mouth, freshens your taste, and sweetens your breath. So enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum often. It costs so little and tastes so good. Now let's turn to page 2 of Luigi Basco's letter to his mother in Italy.
And so, Mamma Mia, I'm sitting here in my store and I don't know what to do about the paying of my income tax. $300,000. Mamma Mia, I know taxes was high in America, but they're not so high. Anyway.
Luigi, my fellow boob.
Oh, hello, Schultz.
Luigi, why have you got your suitcases packed? Where are you going?
Alcatraz.
What?
Pasquale says that's where I'm going to go.
Luigi, don't you think you would have more fun in Florida for the winter? Ach, you little schnitzelkopf. What this talk about Alcatraz? Has Pasquale been teasing you again?
He's figured out I'm owed the government $300,000.
$300,000? Luigi, for that, the government would sell you a half interest in Fort Knox. Where did Pasquale get that figure from?
Well, he's told me I'm a bachelor and if I'm a Mary Rose, a wholesaler. Then the government is going to excuse the luxury tax and let me sign the Declaration of Independence in 1776.
Oh, that scheming Pasquale, has he got you for shimmered? Luigi, don't you know you can't possibly owe the government $300,000? It only seems that way when you send in the check.
Then, sure, so how much am I owe them? How much should the government want from me?
But that's very easy to figure. How much money did you make last year?
$400.
That's what the government wants.
Huh?
Now, smile, Luigi. I'm just making a joke. Look, the chances are, with the money you earned last year, your taxes can't amount to more than a few dollars.
Few dollars, sir. Sure, sir. How am I going to know for sure?
For sure? For sure, nobody knows. No, wait. Into my head, an idea just pooped. Why don't you go straight downtown to the income tax department where the government man figures you out your taxes for nothing?
The government man, he does this for me?
Sure.
Well, Schulze, that's a wonderful idea. I'm going to go right now.
Good. Now, cheer up, Luigi. Smile. Be like me, happy. Always laughing.
My rheumatism is killing me.
Ach, that little Wiener Schnitzel. Always.
Hey, Schulz!
Oh, hello, Pasquale. Why don't you stop frightening Luigi? What's the idea of telling him he owes the government all that money?
Oh, I was just pulling his leg.
And what did you expect to fall out? $300,000?
Holy horses, Mr. Delicatessen.
Why, it's lucky I came along and told him to go downtown to the income tax department. Why don't you ever give Luigi some sensible advice like that?
Schulz, look on my side. Have you got a 250-pound daughter you're trying to marry off?
The poor little Luigi, between you and Rosa and the income tax department, maybe he is better off in a nice, peaceful place like Alcatraz. Goodbye.
So Luigi's going downtown to the government tax man. Taking as a business ledger with him. I gotta do something. I got it.
I'm so smart, I should have my head examined with it.
Where's that the Monopoly game that Rosa gave me for Christmas?
Sure, if this little scheme works, Luigi's gonna be happy to settle with the government for only $300,000. Luigi.
Pasquale, I'm not want to talk to you.
I know you saw. Luigi, I was only having a fun with you. Please, forget it. What's happened is all the past is the water under the bridges.
Pasquale, I'm going to downtown right now to see you and come attack some man. Goodbye.
Luigi, I said I was sorry. Be man enough to accept my apologizes.
All right, Pasquale. All right, I apologize.
Good. Now, take easy. There's no rush. Sit down and we'll play a little Monopoly.
Monopoly? What's that?
It's a game. Something like that card game I taught you. Canazza. Only this Monopoly game is going to teach you all about high finances and bigger businesses. So when you talk to the income tax man, you want to sound like a greenhorn.
Oh, good.
Here, now I'm going to spread out this Monopoly board.
Hey, it looks very pretty. What's this again, Pasquale?
Monopoly. Oh. Now, look, you see these little things here? Uh-huh. They stand for buildings, you see? And these little blocks stand for railroads. These are for banks. Uh-huh. Now, to start the game, you get 4 railroads, 2 hotels, 6 blocks of real estate, and $75,000.
Pasquale, that's a game?
That's right, you're rich. Remember everything you own, Luigi?
Well,
Maybe I better write it all down in your business ledger book.
In my ledger book?
Oh, don't worry, I use this empty page here.
All right. But Pasquale, how we know who's the winner of the game?
Oh, we roll the dice, see? Ideas are for you to win over all of my buildings and my railroads. And every time you win, I'm going to write it down in your ledger book. Understand?
Sure, sure. Hey, Pasquale, it sounds like a fun. Come on, let's play.
All right, I'll roll the dice.
All right.
Oh, Luigi, you're just the one half of Michigan Boulevard.
Hey, I'm lucky, huh?
Yeah, sure. Wait, I'll write it down in your book.
All right.
Hey, Luigi, if you luck to keep some by the time you see that income tax man, you're going to be a millionaire.
Yeah, I'm going to be a millionaire.
Thank you for your help, Mr. Byron.
Quite all right. Glad to be of service. Mr. Basco?
Present. Here I am, Mr. Taxman.
I believe you're next. Won't you come in, please?
Oh, thank you.
Now, where are your records?
Huh?
Didn't you bring your records with you?
Oh, you like music.
I meant your tax records.
Oh, sure, sure. Here, my business book.
I see. Don't you have a checking account?
No. I had a checkbook once in my first week in America, but no more.
Why not?
There's only 20 checks in a book, and I'm going to use them all up.
Well, you could have gotten another book.
No, I'm going to use up all of my money, too.
Oh, I see. You said before that you did make out 20 checks.
Sure.
Where are the stubs?
Huh?
Don't you have the stubs?
No, I'm going to never smoke a cigar.
Never mind, never mind. I'll go over the figures in your book.
All right. You're not going to find it too much there. Just tells how I made $400... and I spent the 8 to 25.
Seems to me that you're underestimating yourself. How much money would you say you're worth, Mr. Basco?
All together?
Yes, all together. How much money are you worth today?
Wait, I'm looking in my pocket.
Oh, come, come, Mr. Basco, let's not be modest. It strikes me as rather peculiar that a man with your vast resources should use such a simple little ledger book.
Hey, mister, what are you talking about?
Here it is. You own the Metropolitan Life Insurance Building.
Me? I'm lucky if I can make a payment on my Blue Shield medical plan.
Don't you own the entire block on 1890 North French Boulevard?
What? I don't even own a bottle 1890 French dressing.
Now, don't pretend ignorance. Right here in your book, your holdings are spread all over the world. $4 million in cash in the California Bank, 135,000 shares Santa Fe Railway, the Waldorf Astoria Hotel, and 3 coffee plantations in Brazil.
I'm on all this?
Yes.
If I had a cigar, I would offer it to you.
You're wealthy.
You're crazy.
Mr. Basco, let's not waste any more time. It's all down here in black and white.
Impossible. I'm going to use a blue ink.
Mr. Basco, you're treating this entire thing as a game.
A game? Oh, hey, that's right. Let me see those pages. Oh, Mr. Income Tax Man, that's Pasquale's fault. It's a monopoly.
Oh, monopoly, eh? Don't you know that's a violation of the Sherman antitrust law?
Oh, no, that's how wrong you are. I'm got no antitrust. I'm only got the Uncle Pietro. And all he's got is a goat. Oh, please, please, Mr. Innocomer Man, please, believe me.
Luigi, what's happened? I'm going to come down here as fast as you call me.
Pasquale, I'm in the worst trouble of my life. Innocomer tax man in that office, he says I'm owed the government $1 million. Because of what you wrote in my book from that monopoly game.
You mean to say he's a no believer it was a game?
No, Pasquale, please, please, you gotta go in his office and explain everything.
Oh, how sweet. Luigi, for 16 months I've been trying to get you in this bear trap, and now you caught. Well, what do you say, my son?
All right, to call in the bear, Papa.
Rosa! Rosa! Rosa!
You called me, Papa!
Yes, my little bunny face. Rosa, say hello to Luigi.
Hello, Rosa.
Rosa, The witches are ready to marry you, and this time is for real.
What's the racket out here?
Oh, Mr. Income Tax Man. I'm a Pasquale. The man of the witches are called down to explain to you about the Monopoly game. See, I even brought the game with me. Handwriting in that book is mine. Empty out of Luigi's pockets. You're going to find nothing but breadcrumbs for the birdies.
Well, if you say so, all right, Mr. Pasquale. I'm glad you explained the whole thing to me. I guess it was a little far-fetched.
Sure, sure. Look, I'm a Luigi Bosco's a good Sumerian, and I'm ready to stand and pay whatever income tax he's owe you.
Well, that's very nice. Naturally, he doesn't owe us $1 million. I have the new figure based on the revised estimate.
Good, I got my checkbook ready to pay you. How much is the amount?
$80,000.
I'm going to...
Just make it out to the Department of Internal Revenue.
Rosa, come over to me. We're late for supper.
Oh, supper!
How about a Pasquale, please? What about the you promised like it wasn't made up? Don't you want me for a son-in-law?
Never saw you before in my life. Don't ever want to see you again. Besides, for $80,000, I can get Errol Flynn. Come on, Rosa.
Goodness, he was really mad, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think maybe he's never going to ask me again at the Mary Rose. How, oh, Mr. Internal Man? You're a real, real fine fellow for helping me to play such a joke on a Pasquale.
Well, when I saw the joke that he had played on you, I just couldn't resist helping you get even with him.
You know, people, they say you income tax the fellas you very hard. I think you're very soft.
Well, thank you. Mr. Basco, you understand that what I just did was highly irregular and unofficial. Please don't mention this incident to anyone.
Oh, don't worry. I'm happier my friend should be Uncle Sam than a Papa Pasquale. Everything is to turn out all right with the government. And later, the tax man is to figure out my tax for the 1949. I'm going to read someplace that the government is expected to take in this year $46,361,740,121.56. Mamma mia. I'm proud to tell you that the $1.56 is what I'm paying. Your loving son, Luigi Basco, a little immigrant.
Folks, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum hope you enjoyed tonight's episode of Life with Luigi, and they'd like to remind you that Wrigley's Spearmint is a good, wholesome treat for the whole family. Children like it, and grown-ups like it. Best of all, a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is a perfect treat to enjoy between meals. It's refreshing, it's satisfying, yet it won't dull the appetite. So always keep a few packages of delicious Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Let your family enjoy it often. The makers of Wrigley Spearmint Gum invite you to listen next week at this time when Luigi Basco writes another letter to his Mama Basco in Italy. Life with Luigi is a Cy Howard production and is written by Mac Benoff and Lou Derman and directed by Mac Benoff. J. Carol Nash is starred as Luigi Basco with Alan Reed as Pasquale, Hans Conried as Schultz, Jody Gilbert as Rosa, Mary Shipp as Miss Spaulding, Joe Forte as Horowitz, and Ken Peters as Olsen. Music is under the direction of Lud Gluskin. Friends, the Wrigley Company invite you to listen to their other program, The Gene Autry Show, every Saturday night over most of these same CBS stations. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, everyone, that is our show today, and I hope you all enjoyed it. And, hopefully this makes tax season a little more bearable, and you can at least have a laugh about it. Well, or maybe just not cry so much, but, well, don't worry. We're going to get it through it together, okay? So thanks again for joining me for this show, and I always have such a great time with you, and I appreciate all of you very much. Thank you for listening. Join me for next week's show as we're going to look at another great radio personality from the past, so you don't want to miss it. It'll be a fun show. So get out there, have a great rest of your weekend, have a great week. Join me back here again for another great show next week. So can't wait to be with you once again. And as I stop and end the show, I'm going to leave you with this quote. What is the difference between a taxidermist and a tax collector? Well, the taxidermist takes only your skin. And that quote was from Mark Twain. And as always, this is your friend, Jay Lewis, off the air.